I get to be with you all. Thank you for hosting the meeting, Brother. Sure appreciate that. And Cornerstone Baptist Church and what's going on in McAllister. This is exciting. Glad to get to be a part of it. And, you know, just even just I think what we're trying to do is just pass on how good God is and how good he's been to us. And I know a lot of times, Brother, what I'm trying to do, I'm just trying to pass on what I've received. You know, I've received so much. So much, and I'm grateful to God for it. And thank you, Brother Collins, for the message a moment ago. My soul, that was spot on. Amen. Listen, that was good. I mean, it was radical. It was radical. Radical it was. It was. But it's so balanced. I'm still chewing on that. I may preach some of that again. That's good. Good stuff. So thankful we get to preach together, and Brother Dignan as well, and get to be together a little bit. And I've known the McDonald's now a long time, and Collins a long time, and thankful to see the men here today. That's a blessing, men. I'm glad, thankful for you all and what God's doing in your life, and we're for you, you know, 100% for you, and just glad for it. And my wife's brother Andrew married Julie McDonald, so we're like connected in the family. And Brother JR says we're pretty much family now. Where's Thanksgiving meal at, you know? And so I said, all right, you know, the only way I'm going to call you family is I get to call you Papaw. So anyways, I refer to him as Papaw a little bit. So anyways, we have a good time with that. Yeah, it's great. Have a good time. Never tell him where we're going to have Thanksgiving, though. So we just keep that a secret. Anyways. All right, let's go to Exodus chapter number 17, if you would, please. Exodus chapter 17. I'm sorry I missed last night. I did a dorm devo. By the way, thanks for praying for Heartland Baptist Bible College. It's hard to believe that we're winding down another year. We just got about a month left or so. So I know many of you pray for the school, pray for the students. And I'm thankful God's still calling men and women to serve Him, and married couples and single students and people. And we've had a great year. It's just gone by too fast. So anyways, just grateful. I know that you pray and really do appreciate that. We need prayer. We need people praying. Because obviously this is a spiritual battle that we're all in, and we need God's help and intervention. And just what we just heard, that there might be a genuine radical humility and a hatred of sin, but a radical love for people. That's the essence of what we're endeavoring to do at Heartland Baptist Bible College. So grateful to be a part of that. All right, Exodus 17. Let's stand in honor of God's Word once again, if you would, please. And Exodus chapter number 17. And this is a great passage. And, it's 16 verses long. We're not going to read all of it for the sake of time. But the first seven verses are about how that they didn't have water and they complained. And wondered if Moses had brought him out there to die, and they could have done a good job of dying there in Egypt the way they were complaining. Somebody said God killed more people for complaining than any other sin in the Bible. So learn from that, right? So they didn't have water, and God provided them water from a rock. From a rock. And Paul would write that rock was Christ. And so it's definitely a picture of how it was a smitten rock, and God told Moses to take the rod and to smite the rock. We'll get to that here in a little bit. So, we're talking upwards of maybe 6 million people that were taken care of. I mean, it's not just a small water fountain and everybody's coming by it, friend. That's a lot of water. So this is an incredible victory. But here's one thing I find. After a great victory, oftentimes there's an attack.
Yes. Come on now.
So look at verse 8, if you would. So verse number 8 says, then came Amalek. It's ominous. Then came Amalek. And fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur, somebody said, we need more men like her. What an unfortunate name, you know, in English, right? But Hebrew, it's all right. We need more men like her. Anyways. All right. Where are we at? Here we go. Okay. So they went up to the top of the hill, and it came to pass in verse 11, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were weary, were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. By the way, that's indicating this. There's going to be more battles. And Joshua, this is his very first battle. And he's going to need to be reminded of what God did in the past for the battles that he'd faced in the present and those that he would face in the future. So Joshua would need this. And so he said, write this as a remembrance, and says in verse 14 also, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar. I want you to notice this in verse 15. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi. It's made up of two words. We'll look at that here in just a moment. Of course, Jehovah, we know that. Lord. Jehovah, the self-existent one. Jehovah Nissi. Si is the personal pronoun on the end of that word. Nais or Nis would be banner. Okay, so the Lord, my banner.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
The Lord, my banner.
Yeah.
For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And so with God's help here this morning, I'd like to preach our banner in the battle. Our banner in the battle. And may God help us to lead God's people to the place of victory. Leading God's people to the place of victory. And so, Father, help us now, I pray. Lord, you're our banner in the battle, and I'm thankful that we can run to you. And I pray that you'd use this message, and thank you for the way you've already spoke to us. God, if we went home right now, and I mean this, not just a common saying that we mention from time to time, but sincerely, it was worth it for us to be here to have heard the message we just heard a moment ago. And now I pray for your help because of the inadequacy of human strength, wisdom, and power. But God, we know that you're unlimited. And I pray the same for the message to follow. And thank you for this kind church that's opened up their doors to us today, that we could fellowship, have a meal together here in a little bit, and fellowship. Dear God, we're so grateful to God to you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, it's baseball season. Man, I love baseball season. I love baseball. I love the Cardinals, and we're getting better at losing games. But anyways, had a good lead last night and lost it, you know. So anyways, one thing about baseball is it's really superstitious. I remember when I was playing baseball, I mean, if we won one game, I'd get dressed exactly the same way, you know, for the next game, you know, and just anyways, just kind of weird. But a lot of it has to do with like a rally cap. You know, if a team gets down, then they turn that hat upside down or do all kinds of crazy stuff. And it's time to rally.
Right.
That means you've been down, you're in a difficult spot, and you need to rally to come back at it. And so every organization recognizes a need to rally. The word rally means this, to come together for a common cause or purpose. So a high school football team would have a pep rally to get everybody together and get everybody kind of fired up and on Friday night and come together for a common cause. The word rally means to recall to order or to come together again to renew an effort to join in a common cause. So you might even have a financial institution that has a rally, you know, and need a rally in that way. And so oftentimes when you have a rally, then there's going to be a banner associated with that, you know, a big flag. When, when OU scores a touchdown, then somebody's going to run out. You know, of course, the Schooners are going to come out too, but, you know, somebody's going to run out with a big old flag. You know, I mean, massive. Which, you know, I love driving down I-44 somewhere and seeing the American flag. You know, one of those, I'm talking about the massive, whoever raised that flag, you know, salute him. I mean, that's incredible. You know, just the massive flag, you know, waving here, you know, and man, I love it. I love seeing that you've got Israel's flag displayed here. And being in Israel a few years ago, I mean, everywhere we looked, there was the flag. Man, I loved it. And there's something about the banner, you know, that a country has that you know, they're proud of or ought to be. The Oklahoma flag, the United States flag, our Christian flag, these banners, they represent something, see. And so I think about Baker Mayfield going out to the 50-yard line, right, and planting a flag in Ohio. Come on now, that's good stuff. But anyways, that's that banner. Everybody's rallying under that, you know. And so here our text is telling us that Jehovah is our banner. He's our banner. He's our way to victory. So that's what we want to look at is why did God tell Moses to refer to this place as Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner? Well, I think you get it already. I'm not going to preach anything new to you. I hope just to be a bit of an encouragement to you. Now listen, folks, we're not fighting for victory. We're actually fighting from victory that our Lord and Savior already won. But we face many battles in this day and time. These young people that are here today, they're going to face a lot of battles. Husbands and wives are facing a lot of battles today. Sometimes they got them between themselves. Anyways, any word of personal testimony here this morning, all right? So I see that hand. God bless you. But anyways, hey, we got battle within the home. We got a battle for the home. We got battles in churches. We got battles outside of churches. Hey, it's easy to see that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of the air. Listen, we are in a spiritual battle. So how do we gain that victory? Well, God gave Moses the way to victory here. And we're going to look at that here in our text. But first of all, let me talk about Amalek. Amalek was a descendant of Esau. You know, you got the twins, Jacob and Esau, and Esau and Jacob, you know, Jacob being the younger one. So Amalek would come through the line of Esau and would be a grandson there to Esau. And so that's kind of the lineage, the background of Amalek. So the children of Israel are coming out of Egypt, and this is their very first battle. They're not trained warriors. They were slaves. They had no military training whatsoever. Can you imagine? You know, our son Tyler went into the Oklahoma National Guard, and so he went, you know, for basic combat training and at Fort Sill. But can you imagine our military going into battle without any kind of training? I mean, I just can't even imagine that. You know, I mean, I know we did it with Nerf guns, but that's a different story, right? Okay, so this is real war. This is real battle. This is a ruthless group. Hey, let me remind you of something. The enemy is not going to wait for you to be battle ready. Satan's going to attack early. He does not care that you are identified with the Lord God Almighty. In fact, because you and I do, we've got a mark on us. And so just because it doesn't matter what church you come from or what your last name is, it does not matter what your name is. Friend, listen, you and I have an enemy that wants to attack us and attack our families. And so here is Amalek, not waiting for them to go through any kind of basic combat training. He's attacking early. And he's attacking from behind. The book of Deuteronomy was tell us that he attacked the hindmost part of them. And so he came up from behind them. And it also tells us this, that Amalek attacked the feeble and the weak of them. And so those that were straggling behind, those that were having a hard time keeping up, that's who the enemy attacked. Hey, listen, that's who he still attacks. He still comes after the weak. He still comes after those that are kind of lagging behind. And so the enemy is going after that which is precious to you. Maybe Amalek had heard about Israel coming out of Egypt and what they were carrying with them and the water that they had at one time, then they ran out. But anyways, what they had by way of the gold and the other precious things. I just want to tell you today, the enemy is after that which is precious in your life. Your testimony, your mind, your purity, your heart, your desire for God. I'm telling you, the enemy is after those things. He attacked them at a time when they weren't ready for it. He attacked them early on. He attacked them after a blessing. I thank God for a Sunday like we had, you know, Easter Sunday and so many guests. Man, that's wonderful. But I tell you what, that's when the enemy's going to attack. I'm seeing that over and over again. I mean, if we've had a great marriage retreat, get ready. It's going to be tough after that, right? It'll be tough before and then afterwards, right? The marriage retreat's not so bad, but the before and after, come on now. You know what I'm talking about? And so you have victory, but then you have an attack. Victory and then an attack. That's how it is. So they are attacked here. And so God tells Moses to do something unique. So, Brother Terry, excuse me just a minute. I'm going to grab this. God told Moses to take the rod. All right. Now, my dad got this for me when I was about 15 or 16 years old. He'd go to flea markets and I'd spend time praying out in the woods of Kentucky. And so he thought I was Moses or something. So he got me a staff. That's where this comes from. I've had this for a long time. I love it. So anyways, I'm not Moses. I learned that in a hurry. That's good. So God told Moses, I mean, back in chapter 4, if we took time and I was even just getting ready for this, looking back at the verses that have to do with the rod. What is that in thine hand? God asked Moses. Remember that in the desert? What is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he told him to do this, to cast it down. And it became a serpent. I guarantee you right now, if that did, then Brother Randy would be out the door. And I'd be with him. I'm telling you. I don't like snakes. They should have all died in the flood. You know what I mean? A slow, painful death. But anyways, but then he said to pick it up, you know, and it became the rod again. All right. So the rod there was symbolic of something. Are you following me right here? It was symbolic. So God told Moses to go in before Pharaoh and to take his rod. And of course, we know the account. He cast the rod down and it became a serpent. Well, the Pharaoh's Egypt magicians did the same thing. Only bad day for them. Moses' rod ate their rod. Amen. Cannibalistic snake right there. So anyway, just ate their rod, showed his power over their power.
Right.
So then God told him to take the rod also and to touch the water of the Nile River. And what happened? It became blood. He told him to lift up his rod and the locusts came. I'm not going to necessarily do this in order. He told him, lift up his rod, lice came. Lift up thy rod, frogs came. Can you imagine? Everywhere. Frogs came and he told him to lift up his rod and there's darkness over the earth. I mean, all that is going on around the rod. By the way, there wasn't anything magical about the rod. It was symbolic of something. We're seeing a common occurrence here. We're seeing an occurrence that it was symbolic of God's power. It was symbolic of God's authority. And so Moses then took the rod and in fact, even as they're going out of Egypt, he told them to go to the Red Sea. The Pharaoh and his soldiers are hot on pursuit behind them. Moses stands at the Red Sea and lifts up the rod. And the Red Sea that was deep. Not like some skeptic says that it was ankle deep water. Well, even if it was, that's still a miracle. God drowned the whole Egyptian army in ankle deep water, right? But it was deep water, friend. But again, he held up the rod and the sea divided and they walked through on dry ground and he lifted up the rod again and the waters came together again and drowned the whole Egyptian army. Watch this now. Moses in his power buried one Egyptian man. God in his power buried the whole Egyptian army. So that's the difference between your power and my power and God's power, see. So there again, you have the rod. So then they're going through the wilderness and they don't have anything to eat and they complain about that and God gives them manna, which literally means, what is it? You ever had some what is it? What is it? So anyways, it was called manna. And Brother Dave McCracken said it's like Krispy Kreme donuts everywhere on the ground. So I don't know where he got that from, but I don't know where he gets a lot of things. But anyways, it was like Krispy Kreme donuts everywhere. I mean, God fed them and fed them and fed them and took care of them. What he's doing right there is he's proving I'm sufficient for anything that you're going to face. I'm sufficient for anything you're going to face. And so then they didn't have water. And so then what God told Moses to do is to take the rod and to strike the rock. And as he, was that close? Did you feel that? Okay, anyways, I didn't really size that up. Okay, so when he struck the rock, then water gushed out. And again, it wasn't just a little water fountain. It had to be a massive torrent stream because it took care of all of them as well as their livestock. God's power and God's authority is on display.
Amen.
So then God told Moses, go up to the mountain, and up on the mountain you are to hold the rod, and as long as you hold the rod up, then you'll have victory. Okay? So I don't think, sometimes you see it symbolized like this, and it could be this way. It could be. And if you've grown up thinking that way, and you've seen Sunday school pictures that it's that way, then they're probably wrong. But you think it's that way, and it's okay. I really think that it went more like this way.
Yeah.
More like this right here. Because they were supposed to rally under this.
Yeah.
God is going to say, you're going to call this Jehovah Nissi, which means my banner. The Nace is a signal pole. It's an ensign. It's a banner is what it is. Are you following me right here, or do I need to start over? You got it? So it's an ensign. He says, rally under this. Rally under this point. Here's how you're going to have victory is if you get under this rod. Okay? If you get under this signal pole. Okay, let me tell you a few other places where this is used. In Numbers chapter number 21, when they lifted up that brazen serpent, they lifted it up on a pole.
Yeah.
The word pole, when you look it up, it's the word nace. It's the same word that's used here about how that the Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. So they would lift him up on the pole. They didn't lift the serpent up like this. Okay, I'm not trying to prove that point too strongly. But But they would lift that serpent up on the pole, and when you look there, and Jesus said, the Son of Man will be lifted up. Are you following me right here? The Son of Man will be lifted up. And if you look to Him, friend, you'll be saved. See? All right? There'll be victory there, so it's used there. It's also used in Isaiah 62, and it's talking about how Israel would be an ensign to the nations. Ensign, a signal pole to the nations.
Yeah.
It's also used, this is very interesting, in Isaiah chapter number 11 and verse number 10, that the Messiah that will come, listen to this, the Messiah that will come will be an ensign to the nations, and to Him shall all the Gentiles seek.
Wow.
It's the same word. The word signal or ensign is the word nace. Okay, so what God is telling Moses is that, listen, you go up to that mountain. I'll make sure I'm not knocking anything down here. You go up to that mountain and you hold that up, and here it is, a symbol. Get this now. It is a symbol of God's power and a symbol of God's authority. And as long as you are under God's power and under God's authority, you'll see victory. But what happened is when they got out from under, when Moses' arms got tired and he held it this way or down, now they're out from under God's authority and out from under God's power, and thus they began to lose, which also shows you and tells you that Amalek was a superior fighting force when they were up against just Israel. But when they were up against God, they didn't have a chance. I said they didn't even have a chance, see. And see, here's what this passage is teaching us, is that Israel had victory as long as they were under God's authority and under God's power. And that's why God told Moses, you call this place Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord my banner. And as long as I'm under His, is anybody getting the message here this morning? As long as I'm under His authority, and as long as, if I'm under His authority, His power comes with it. And then I see God give victory there. But if I try to do life without His authority or without His power and I'm on my own,
come on.
You're going to be defeated. Every single time. You can't be saved that way. So if you can't be saved that way, you can't live that way. You know what we're doing as men of God that are here, that are trying to pastor, trying to do song leading, that are trying to do assistant pastoral roles, that are trying to lead youth, that are trying to lead families. Yes. We're trying to get everybody to rally.
Yeah, that's good.
Get them to rally under the right place. Yes. We got to get everybody to rally under the right place. We got to come together here. We've got to come together under this rally point, because if you don't get under His authority and you don't get under His power, you're not going to have victory.
I mean,
this is kind of, y'all could help, but you've got one bad arm, so I'm not going to do that. But Aaron and her were holding up his arms. Right? It is a team effort. No doubt it's a team effort. And you, by the way, God's either called you to pastor or to help the pastor. And you ought to hold up the man of God's arms and not try to knock him down and try to put him down and criticize the way that he's holding the standard up. No, don't criticize him. Come in alongside of him. Help him hold it higher. You come up here and try to hold it. I'm telling you, friend, you come up here and try to hold up the standard. Oh, by the way, that's another way the word is found, is standard. That's how the word is. It's the word nace, it's standard. So we're trying to hold up the standard. One time, Brother Rob Kitchen, this past fall, he preached one of our opening chapels, actually on opening day, and he had me come up along with others to hold up he got a metal one. It was kind of heavy anyways, but I've never been more ready for a sermon to be over. I mean, I was just holding it up. It was terrible. And even when he got guys to help me hold it up, it still was hurting. Wimps, right? I'm just telling you, hold something up long enough, is you're going to get weary. You're going to get tired. But this is where the victory's at. So you say, well, what rod do we have? What standard do we have? What ensign do we have? What place do we have to rally?
Yes, amen.
Let's rally under this.
Yes.
It's not a magic book at all. No, friend, it's the Word of God, though. It is the inspired, infallible, preserved Word of God for us, dear friend. And we need to hold it up high, because it represents our Savior, see. And as long as we rally under who He is, there's going to be victory. But if we think we can do church without Him, we think we can do it in our own ingenuity, our own wisdom, and our own ways, then friend, listen, we're not winning battles. Amalek's going to whoop us. We're going to get defeated. But I'm telling you, if we get under God's authority, there's victory.
Amen.
That's true for an individual. By the way, let me make application right here. Those of you that are men of God, listen, we need to make it our priority to make sure we're under the banner first.
Yes.
Paul said, take heed to thyself. Take heed to thyself. I got to make sure that I read my Bible, pray every day. That needs to be in the hymnal. That's so good. I got to be in the Word. I got to be in the Word. I can't just feed the flock. I got to be the flock. I'm part of that flock. I got to stay in the Word and receive from it what I need to know about God and about His will and about His ways. And I find this, if I get under this, I'll have victory. But if I get out from under that and think, no, I got this.
Yeah, come on now.
You get defeated. Okay, then came Amalek. Are you following me right here? Yeah. Then came Amalek. Then came that problem.
Yeah, right.
So men of God need to be under this. Families here in this church need to be under this. This church needs to be under it. The church that you're from needs to be under this same banner. Because the banner is the Lord. The Lord is the one that gives us the victory. But we got to be ready, because Amalek is coming and he has no mercy. Then came the big conflict at the house. Huh? Then came the problem at the church. Then came the first family that left. Then the second family that left. Are you following me right here? Then came the plumbing problem. I'm giving you some personal testimony right here, right? We just dug up our whole basement, it felt like. And well, I mean, all from the some of you are familiar with the building, but basically all the way under the auditorium, we had the Grand Canyon. Unreal, the whole thing, you know. Then came, I mean, it's like a lot of money, but we got to have the bathroom down there, so that's what you do. Right? Then came Amalek. Then came this financial problem. I preach often, you know, to college students. You're talking about some financial problems. You know, one of the biggest lessons, I was just talking a little bit ago about some of the students that are there. One of the biggest lessons they're learning is not just the content of the Word of God, but that the God of the Word can be trusted.
Amen.
and that He can provide for them. Amen. I mean, some of them are really tight on finances. You know, I'm not picking on them. I mean, I was there. I remember. I forgot how. Whoo.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty tight on finances. Heard about that guy that wrote back to his family. He said this. He said, "No mon, no fun, your son." That's what he wrote to his dad from college. And his dad wrote back, "Too bad, I'm sad, your dad." Right? So, no sympathy. Man, I got to tell you this. John Wayne Helms, blessing. Thankful to God for how God's worked in his life. He didn't grow up in church and such, but his junior or senior year started going to church, and down in Roswell, New Mexico. You know, weird? Yes. Whole place, right? But man, I'm telling you, he's come and he's such a well-liked student and well-respected, about to get married this summer, works at Southwest in the maintenance department. But he just went back to the place that he worked at in Roswell at this lumber yard. And he just showed up out of the blue just to talk to them and say hello. And they wrote him a $1,200 check to finish off the remainder of his balance, not knowing what his balance was. And it was right in that category to finish out the school year. Wrote that for him. He just showed up. They didn't even know he was coming. They didn't even know he was coming, friend. They didn't owe him any money, but they gave him that. You know what that was?
Amen.
The banner.
Yeah.
The Lord provided for this young man.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
That's good preaching.
That is
good preaching.
God is so good to us.
Yes, He is.
Let's get under the banner.
Amen. That's good.
Yes, sir.
He's our source of victory.
Amen.
Source of wisdom and power and ability to keep going is going to be under His authority. The more I go along, the more I come to this conclusion that the whole Christian life is basically about one word, submission.
Yes, sir.
We might say faith, we might say belief, but here's the deal on that. You're not going to submit to somebody you don't trust. You might feign submission, but you won't really submit if you don't trust them. But wait a minute, if you really trust them, you'll get under their authority. Preachers, pastors, that's what we're trying to do. Just hold the standard high and say we all got to run to it. We got to live life under this authority. It's a joy. It's a joy whenever you see a family that was just about to break apart. Get under God's authority. It didn't mean that Joshua wasn't going to fight a battle down there. He did. He still had to handle a sword.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean once you get under this, then he's just going to wipe everybody out. Now, he's been known to do that along the way. You follow me?
Yeah.
No, you'll probably have to, you'll have to unsheath the sword and go to work, but stay under the banner. Stay under the banner. As we're trying to reach people across the United States of America right here in Oklahoma, we got to get them under the banner. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner.
Amen. That's good.
Father, thank you this morning. Sure, grateful that the power and authority is not in us. But Lord, we can get under your authority. And Lord, even as independent fundamental Baptist preachers and families, Lord, that's what we're trying to do today. Just to come to you for the victory that we need in the battle. I don't know if somebody here maybe is in a battle right now. I would imagine so, given the state of life that we're all in. God, I thank you that you're the same today as you were in the days of Moses and Joshua. We could trust you just as much today as they could then. And so we praise you for that. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.